Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, it's Rich Tola, and thanks for tuning in to my East Coast Talk for a 21st Century World. We got another fun show planned for you today, but take a look at yesterday's show. Yasmin and I were talking acting methodology. She's in the studio again today.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Yasmin. Yeah, we had a lot of fun. We're having a lot of fun doing this together here, and we also talked about how to get your shit together. Remember this, Yasmin, about avoid being a jerk with my proper gym etiquette? If you guys, you got to go check that one out, my Get Your Shit Together podcast number 6. It's a really good one. It talks about circle jerking, and we had
that's,
one.
That's a new phrase. I'm such a fan.
You're a fan of that.
I'm stealing that.
Yeah, our friend Bobby was retweeting that. So shout out to her. Thanks for listening yesterday. Yeah, we're having some fun here. So check that out from yesterday in the archives. It's latalkradio.com/tola.php. Right, for personal homepage. Today we have another good show planned. We have a stand-up bassist, a quote-unquote jazz head in the studio today, Ryan Roberts. You're familiar with Ryan there.
Yeah, Ryan's my homie.
She's got a homie in the studio today. We're going to listen to some of his music, a really cool song. You're going to like that. It's also Throwback Thursday, right, TBT? We're going to throw you back 20 years to 1994. Pretty cool year. Yeah, we're going to have some fun with that. And finally, the heat broke. Yasmin, we're done with the heat. You love the heat.
Yeah, I'm sad.
I'm sad.
I'm wearing, pants today.
You're wearing pants today. Well, that's a good thing. No, it's beautiful here, folks. It's 85 and sunny degrees in Los Angeles. Hey, just to go around the country, shout out to a lot of folks. Chicago, 64 and sunny. Went to grad school there. New York City, 75 and sunny. Love it. Love the sunny. And Omaha, Nebraska. We talked about that yesterday.
Yeah, that famous park in Omaha. What's the weather in the park in Omaha?
76 and sunny. It was rainy when I was there, but it was 76 and sunny today.
Well, it's a better day for Omaha all around.
No raincoats.
No raincoats in Omaha today.
Well, a different version of the raincoat, perhaps. But no, Seattle, it's going to be 68 and rainy. Yeah, it rains a lot in Seattle. Austin, Texas, a little scattered thunderstorms there, 85 degrees. And Honolulu, I spent a couple months in Honolulu. It's going to be 88 degrees, and you got the PM showers. So there you go, a little quick around the globe here, or around the United States, rather, with some weather. And tomorrow's guest, though, you're going to love her, Jen Kober. She's a comedian who's going to be playing at the Comedy Store this weekend. I can't wait, Yasmin. I can't wait to have her in the studio.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to
that. She's so cool. Yeah, just you got to go check her out on YouTube as well. But yeah, we're going to have some fun with that. But let's go to our around the globe with our latest news, strange but true. We like to do this every day, get the show started. So let's talk about the lucky bachelorettes. This is a good news story. You guys heard about this group of 8 women who went missing in Cabo San Lucas, it's nearby here, in the aftermath of the disastrous, now this is a Category 3 hurricane, folks, Odile, arrived in yeah, and these ladies arrived in San Diego last night, so that was a good news story. They went to Mexico last Thursday from Fresno to celebrate a bachelorette party. You probably read this. They got to Cabo 3 days before the hurricane struck. Pretty bad one. And it was a frantic 2 days for the families. And they did arrive in San Diego last night, all good news. And just so you know, there were 30,000 foreign tourists that were stranded due to this hurricane. Pretty wild.
That's a lot of people. A
lot of people.
Well, all is well that ends well. I like a good story like
that. Yeah, that's a good story. We have a lot of these that aren't so good. This is actually, I don't know, is this a good story? This one's called Hitler's Foodie. Oh, wait a minute. It's kind of a funny name we gave it. Margot Walk became a food taster after moving, check this out, right next to Adolf Hitler. She moved in with her mother in 1941.
So by food taster, I'm assuming that you mean forced to, taste the food.
Forced to taste the food, no kidding. And she was pressured, let's see what that means, to take the job. What do you think?
Pressured
like a gun to your head?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, this is a scary one here. This woman, she's 96. She's 96 years old, telling this story how Hitler's men employed 15 women during the Second World War to taste Hitler's food to ensure that it wasn't poisoned. Okay.
I wonder, are these German women that he hired? Or not hired? Were they getting paid? Surely not.
Were they getting paid? got 15 women. I mean, they say they were employed. Well, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
Exactly.
Employed, employed. They're not being paid in,
I don't know what they but the sad part was she said every single time that they sat down to eat, and he didn't eat meat. He was vegan. Well, at least that's what she said. It was vegetarian or vegan food. They would cry. She said they would cry because they felt like they were playing Russian roulette and that every single mouthful could kill them. But
you would think that
wild.
Now she wouldn't really be a big fan of food.
Yeah, you would think she's not a big fan of food, but I don't know. This is kind of scary because then what happened was, you guys recall, on July 20th, 1944, there was an assassination attempt by a group of German army officers that tried to detonate a bomb inside this lair. So she was there when this occurred, and after this occurred, Hitler went off to kill 5,000 Germans who were executed, and she was moved to another building, okay? But then they raped her. Then she escaped, fled to Berlin in 1944. A year later, they captured her. They held her for 14 days, she said, and they raped her, beat her. She was unable to bear children after that, but fortunately, she was rescued by a British officer. I don't know. Those are some pretty nasty days. I mean, he was totally a whack job, right?
I don't know whether that's a good story or a bad story, but it's definitely...
it's strange but true, right? I mean, it's kind of strange. I mean, now she's 96 years old talking about it. I don't know. Just to think about every mouthful, you're going to die.
Yeah, it's like, well, so what have you done in your life? Well, at one point of my life, I used to eat Hitler's food for him. Mm. And then after that, I moved to New York, and
moved
crazy.
It's nonsense here. But that's one of our stories for today. Let's go to our next story here, which this one is this one's kind of interesting. Well, actually, let me get to this one before. I got a couple stories here. Where's the one that I want to talk about with these? One second here, folks. Here we go. Blinding treasures. I'm calling this. I didn't tell you about this one. Yasmin, this is kind of interesting. So there were some ornate jewelry and daggers that were crafted, we're talking 4,000 years ago, that were found in Bush Barrow near Stonehenge. You know, everybody knows what Stonehenge is. It's the prehistoric monuments in Wiltshire, England. You know, it's known actually to be a burial ground, and that's like the center of what they call a bustling complex. But the Ring of Standing Stones, everybody knows that. It's dated back to 2400 B.C. Well, they found these treasures made by children, they say, as young as 10 years old because they're so intricate that it would have left adults blind. It would blind adults to do this. So they said the kids most likely were blinded from this. I mean, this is wild. We're talking 4,000 years ago. Now, they didn't come up with a magnifying glass for another 1,000 years. So there were no magnifying glasses. Now, these are 1 millimeter long by 0.2 millimeter wide. Okay, so they said it took 2,500 hours to make. That's their estimate. Now we're talking 2,500 hours. That's like 8 hours a day, 7 days a week for more than a year. And they said the adults, they said they would have grown too short-sighted to make them. So they said it's not really possible. So that all this had to be done by children, which probably left them almost blind. That's kind of wild.
That's gnarly.
It's gnarly, but back then we're talking what 4,000. That's crazy, 4,000 years ago, right?
Child slavery.
Child slavery,
amazing.
Abuse, all that business. We're going to get into a little bit of child abuse today, too. So what are you going to do? Blinding treasures. Number four, let's go to the Fox Frenzy. Now, I'm sure, I don't know if you guys have seen this. I had to watch this video twice. I watched this news anchor and host, Sean Hannity. Anybody see him? Where he removed his belt and he thrashed his desk on live TV to demonstrate how he was beaten as a child. And he was actually defending Adrian Peterson, who's the Minnesota Vikings player, accused of beating his own child, or actually children, running back from Minnesota. I mean, you may have heard the news. I mean, we're talking a lot about these celebrities, Yasmin, who they're on a high-profile status here, and they're doing things that aren't leader-like.
This is something that I'm obviously very passionate about, and you know this. It's that if you choose a life of celebrity, and it is a choice, that then you need to understand that you are an opinion leader, that people look up to you, and you need to act accordingly. You need to be a positive example and role model. Otherwise, don't be a celebrity. If you want to be a dirtbag, be a dirtbag, but go do it in your own time and not for everybody to see. It makes me so mad.
Anyway. She's heated. She's
I am heated.
No doubt.
I'm going to lose my red hot temper.
You're going to lose your temper. Oh, my God. I haven't seen that yet. I don't want to see that. Not yet. At least give it a couple weeks. We're in the third week here. No, but this guy Hannity said that Peterson, quote, deserves parenting classes for his abuse. A little more background, okay, folks. Well, Hannity said that was kind of wild on air. His father used the belt on him, punched him in the face, said he deserved it because he was a troubled kid. And then, quote unquote, he says, I think he went too far. Well, I guess he's talking about his father. But then he says, I don't want to see this guy, Adrian Peterson, get a felony. I don't want to see this guy lose his job. He deserves parenting classes.
Okay. So what I'm going to say here, and I'm going to keep this short and sweet, is that this guy, the belt thrashing
Hannity.
Fox, there you go, Hannity.
He's on TV saying the news.
Sure.
By the way, there was two women, another guy, they were like getting nervous. He's snapping his belt. I mean, it was kind of wild.
Because being around any kind of aggression makes people uncomfortable. Mm. Aggression is not a positive emotion. And I firmly believe that aggression is unexpressed pain. That's what aggression is. And all I'm going to say is that this guy was exposed to, in his formative years, he was exposed to violence. So he's grown up thinking that it's okay.
In the formative years, under 10, 9 or 10.
I would like to give my thought to all parents out there and tell all parents to get your shit together. Get your shit together.
Ooh, they get the award maybe. We're going to give this a...
Maybe. I mean, you're the award giver.
Yeah, I'm the award giver.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, parents, if you're out there, I mean, look, disciplining kids, there's no doubt times have changed. I mean, you know, when Hannity, he looks like he's probably 50-ish or 60, who knows. But, you know, there's no doubt that the concept of child abuse and disciplinary measures, I mean, all that's really changed the mindset. So, especially in today's world. Well, let me just segue right into the Get Your Shit Together award, because it seemed like a likely award to Mr. Adrian Peterson, Minnesota Vikings running back.
Yep.
You've heard the news. I mean, he lives in Texas. He was indicted by a grand jury on charges of reckless or negligent injury to a child. This was Friday. To a child on Friday. Now, it's the second incident. There was one in 2013.
Second incident with him?
The second incident with him. He has another child from another woman.
Yeah, of course.
There was like all these Twitter messages. Now, he was accused in a previous incident, and this was a 4-year-old boy, of striking him with a tree branch or switch. I'm not sure what that means, switch, but...
A switch is... isn't that like a wooden cane?
I don't know. When they use the word tree, branch, or switch, I don't know what they're referencing to with the switch. But he says he gave this kid, quote unquote, and he had Twitters back or text messages back with the woman, a whooping in the car, it says. And the kid maybe had
to... I'm
going to
give my kid a whooping.
A whooping.
That's okay, because he's my kid.
Yeah, and the mother contacted child service. I mean... there's a lot going on there. All the details, you could research it yourself. But on October 8th, there's a hearing where he faces up to 2 years in prison, $10,000 fine. I think, you know, the league, there's all this, like, we're trying to figure out what to do with him. I believe he's still on the team. I mean, still playing. So, but I think we got to give him the award. I mean, I didn't want to talk about all parents on this one, but Adrian Peterson, because most importantly, you're leading by example, and like you said, we're putting these guys on pedestals. Mm-hmm. They're out there, and they're not role models. You got to be a role model. Hey, you got to understand that, people. You're making millions and millions of dollars. You're in front of millions of people on a weekly basis, and people look up to you. Ball players, little kids look up to you. I remember as a little kid, I mean, I was a big baseball fan, but hey, Bobby Mercer was like, couldn't do anything wrong. I mean, these guys, and then you don't want to know all the bad stuff, but the bad stuff comes out nowadays. There's too much viralness out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Be aware of the fact that we're in a time where you're constantly being watched. Not to go back to that jackass that punched his wife in the elevator, but...
dragged her off the elevator.
Right.
Knocked her out.
He was in an elevator of a hotel, and there's footage of him everywhere you go.
There's footage.
There's eyes everywhere. So, you know.
Walking across the street, there's eyes.
That's like it.
They could tap into anything.
That's it.
So, people, you know, get your shit together out there. You can't be abusing little kids. I mean, okay, disciplinary measure. I don't have children. I don't think you have children, right?
Yeah. I definitely don't have children.
Not to your knowledge. No, yeah. So, yeah.
I think I would know.
No, but really, really, really be a leader. I mean, we talk about that all the time. You know, as a parent, you definitely want to lead by example. So be a great parent, lead by example, whether it comes to fitness, whether it comes to anything you're putting in your mouth from a food standpoint, you know, lead by example. Beating kids, hey, you know, it's the wrong thing to do. Well, let's move on, because let's move to a more positive nature. The Throwback Thursday. We're throwing back 20 years. You know, I don't know why I came up with this. I moved to New York City exactly 20 years ago. It was in the summer, and I spent 12 years there before moving to Los Angeles. Love it here, but these are my two, my two favorite cities. But we're talking 1994. What did the world look like? Remember President Bill Clinton. But let's talk about 1994. Cost of living. Inflation was only 2.6%. The Dow Jones closed at 3,834. Wow, you know, we're super high from there, right? Average income was 37,000. The average monthly rent, now don't see these numbers around, 533.
Yes. Okay.
Movie ticket was $4. What's it now, 12, 11, 12?
I actually do remember that. I remember movie tickets being around $5.
And $5,
I mean, 20 years
bucks.
Ago, I was young.
20 years ago, you were a little kid, 13-year-old
kid.
I was
13, yeah. How old were you 20 years ago, Rich?
31.
31, you believe? You were me.
I was you. I think I was you. I even look like you. I mean, I think I did. Except I didn't have long hair then.
Really?
No, I was the Wall Street, you know, the short hair. You know.
I can't imagine you without the ponytail.
Well, I was definitely the slick back Wall Street guy.
The slick Rick.
Slick Rick back in those days, right? Gallon of gas was a dollar. What's it, $4? Yeah, remember those days? A dozen eggs was 86 cents. But let's talk about the three main, I mean, these are the three main things, I think, that pop into my mind from the year 1994. All right. Well, let's go with the sad one first, Kurt Cobain.
Wow.
Committed suicide. I mean,
I actually saw a documentary with Courtney Love, and she blames herself for his death. The night before he committed suicide, they actually performed an intervention on him because the night prior to that, he'd come in and he was so high on heroin that he dropped the baby. He dropped Francis. And when they performed this intervention, he was distraught. The one thing that that man loved more than life itself, obviously, was that little girl. So it was very, very sad to watch Courtney tell that story.
Yeah, distraught and suicidal, she talks about. This is, you know, obviously, you know, lead singer of Nirvana, Seattle band, and 3 days earlier, they found him 3 days later. He was found with a shotgun across his body with a suicide note, and I read that suicide note. But remember, yeah, you're right. He did check out of rehab. He was suicidal. Courtney Love, his wife. Frances Bean is the daughter. But in the note, you got to read this note at the end. It says, remember. He writes, remember, it's better to burn out than to fade away, which is, we know, a Neil Young line from one of my favorite songs by Neil Young. So that was the one thing. That happened on April 8th of 1994. That definitely, everybody should remember that. Now, the second thing that happened, how about this? Remember the O.J. Simpson chase? Holy cow.
I don't think we can forget that.
I mean, how could you forget that? When he's fleeing the police in his white Ford Bronco. I clearly remember this. This was June 17th. Now, I had moved to New York on Memorial Day. It was May. Yeah, it was May when I moved, so I was there in New York City. I hadn't started work yet, so it was June 17th. I remember we're going in a bar. He was cruising along the 405. That's a major highway here, folks, runs north-south.
Do you get away from anything quickly on the
405? On the 405, but remember, they cleared it all. Remember Al Cowlings? I remember this whole, everything was Al Cowlings. Then they said, ooh, he's distraught, he's suicidal. But this was about Nicole Brown and Ronald Goldman. Remember Nicole, ex-wife at the time? And then they were found, their bodies were found in Brentwood. She had a Brentwood home, not too far from where we are, over the hill, after midnight on the 13th. But that was wild, just watching this guy, and they were following him, and they said, don't get close. I mean, that was, I remember that clearly. And the third thing that really marks that year, well, there's a lot we'll talk about, is remember Tonya Harding?
Yeah, the crazy ice skating chick. Didn't she have some, like, wasn't it a metal bar or something?
There's a lot there, okay? First of all, this took place on January 6th of 1994. She was a two-time Olympian, right? 1991, she won the U.S. Figure Skating Championship. She placed second in the World Championship. I mean, this is a serious girl. She was the first American woman to complete a triple axel in a short program in competition. So she has this ex-husband, Galuli, he conspired with Sean Eckhart, remember that guy, and Shane Stant, and another guy named Derek Smith, who was the driver, to physically assault Nancy Kerrigan at a practice session.
Poor Nancy.
For the U.S. Figure Championships. This was in Detroit. I remember she was on the cover of Time and Newsweek in January. Now, she ended up pleading guilty. I mean, the other guy, she didn't use the pipe. It was a metal pipe, but she pleaded guilty by conspiring to hinder the prosecution. So it was like she kind of pleaded guilty for that. She didn't plead guilty to really doing anything, but basically kind of, you know, hindering the prosecution for these guys. So, but it was her. She knew about it. They kind of proved that. But that was kind of wild, right? With the whole Nancy Kerrigan thing.
I think it's pretty crazy what people will do to get ahead.
And they stripped her of the 1994 U.S. Championship title.
I would have stripped her of more than that.
Yeah, she had a withdrawal from the World Figure Skating Championships. I mean, she knew about it, no doubt. And remember that? She had the sex tape with her ex-husband. And then Penthouse. I remember this because I actually bought the
copy. Of course you do, Rich.
Well, I mean, you know, it's 1994. I'm living in New York here. I bought that copy. Be a Penthouse. They took some still photos from the sex tape and put it in there, and then she went on to become a boxer. You know, she was a
That's more appropriate, yeah, that's right. Isn't it?
She had a boxing career. She retired with 3 wins, 3 losses, 0 ties. Tanya Harding. Wow, that's wild. She's got to be what? In the 40s
now?
I don't
know if I would. You know, if I was a boxer, which I'm not, if I would want to go into the ring against someone like Tanya Harding. You know what I mean? Like,
she's
you already know that she's not quite...
It's not quite all.
Not
all the screws
level.
Aren't screwed
yeah.
tightly. Mm-hmm. Well, so much for Tanya. Let's go through a list of some other stuff that happened that year, and then we're going to bring our guest in here shortly. Major League Baseball Players Association begins a 232-day strike. Remember they canceled the 94 baseball season? I remember that. That was, ooh, bummer. PLO leader Yasser Arafat returns to Palestine after 27 years in exile. BMW purchased Rover. Serbia was attacked. Was attacking Bosnia at the time. Remember that? And then on May 10th, Nelson Mandela becomes the president of South Africa. Yeah, there was civil war going on in Rwanda. Remember the Hutus and the Tutsis, I guess? Tutsis killed. There was 500,000 people killed then. That was kind of sad. Finland, remember Finland? There was the ferry Estonia sank in the Baltic Sea. That killed over 900 people. Russian President Boris Yeltsin, he ordered tanks and troops into the rebel region of Chechnya to restore order. Jordan and Israel signed a peace treaty, ending many years of war since 1948. Remember the Whitewater scandal begins? I remember that. And then remember...
I remember Yeltsin's birthmark. That's what I
yeah,
remember.
The birthmark, right?
Birthmark guy.
Yeah, and 20 years ago was when Joan Rivers and Melissa Rivers started the red carpet coverage at the Golden Globes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I remember that. And then in the UK, remember the Channel Tunnel opened, 31 miles connecting England and France.
I do remember that. That's actually really cool.
Really cool. It took 7 years to build that tunnel, 15,000 workers. Yeah, in the tech world, let's check it out. The world's first satellite digital TV service was launched. Netscape Navigator, that was the big leader in web browsing. The Java program was released by Sun Microsystems.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and in the pop news, remember Lisa Marie Presley married Michael Jackson.
Oh, that was huge.
That was so huge. That was
and we will never know. We'll never really know whether that was a real marriage or not.
No.
What do you think?
Nah, who knows? Nah, probably not.
I think love is love.
Love is love. Yeah. Well,
it don't matter.
Who knows what was going on back then. But in the film world, right, that's where my heart is, let's take a look. There were some awesome films. Well, Shawshank Redemption and Forrest Gump, first two films to come out.
Oh, massive films.
Yeah, Forrest Gump now went on to win, by the way, the following year. So when we're going to tell you who won in 94, but it was the film that came out in 93. Remember True Lies with Schwarzenegger and Jamie Lee Curtis, who I love that. Dumb and Dumber, Legends of the Fall, Brad Pitt. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. Remember Interview with a Vampire, Tom Cruise. Natural Born Killers. Oh, how about Woody Harrelson in that?
Wow. So these were all in the same year?
Yeah, same year. Pulp Fiction, Speed.
If you could name even 3 life-changing films that have come out this year in comparison to 20 years ago.
Oh, forget about it.
It's saying something about what's going on in the industry and the current generation. People are just
look at
peddling
these films.
Crap.
Even Forrest Gump. You know, Forrest Gump, I read that. I mean, Wendy Feinerman, brought that to life. That would took 7 or 8 years to make.
Yeah,
that's
dedication to art.
No doubt. Yeah, no doubt. Star Trek Generations came out then. Remember, Richie Rich came out then.
Oh my God, yeah. I loved that film.
Yeah, right? The Flintstones. Here's one of my favorite movies, really one of my favorites of all time, which launched the career. It was her first full-length feature film. She was 13 years old when she made this film. Any idea? Now, if I tell you who it is, you probably don't even know the film.
Tell me.
Natalie Portman was 13 years old when she made this film. I'll tell you who's the director. Luc Besson. It was his first English-speaking film, The Professional. Oof, what a great film.
Nope.
You guys got to go check that out. The Professional was, she starred in that. And he said he had to convince her parents. He didn't think he would get an American girl to play that role. But he said he convinced her parents because they said, oh, you launched her career. He goes, well, it was her parents that allowed her to do it. That's a great film.
That's
go check that out. But getting back to what was the best picture of that year? Now, this film came out on November 30th, the year before. Remember Schindler's List?
Oh, yeah.
It won all sorts of awards. Yeah, that was definitely
a... Yeah, well, that was a big year for cinema.
Big year for cinema. How about TV? Here we go. Well, first of all, first and foremost, everybody knows what premiered or launched her first episode on September 22nd, 1994? Friends.
Yeah.
You got to start with Friends. But then there was Law and Order, Rugrats, the Jerry Springer show was big.
There's nothing after Friends.
Yeah, right. The Ren and the Stimpy show. The X-Files, remember Mulder and Scully? This is still
that
rocking.
That was pretty big.
Frasier was big there.
Thank
God. Beavis and Butthead.
Can you imagine being Kelsey Grammer? He played that
for like 100 years.
It was like 20 years that he played that character. Yeah. How amazing.
I loved him in Cheers.
So amazing.
Yeah, that was a pretty cool show. I mean, we could develop this into our own little Frasier. What do you think?
We're already doing it, Rich.
We're already doing it.
We
just got to start taking calls from all these people that are, you know, whacked out on the street.
Yeah.
Now, we will soon. Beavis and Butthead, I said that, right? How about The Late Show with David Letterman, NYPD Blue, and for your Trekkies out there, it was Deep Space Nine. That's in the TV land, and then let's get into the music, and then I think we're going to bring our guest in real soon here. But, so from the music land, well, number one album that year was... Oasis, definitely maybe. I remember that.
With Wonderwall, right?
Yeah, exactly. Real catchy.
Those guys, I think, were.
Are they heroin guys? I don't know. Were there some issues there with drugs
along
the way?
There were Liam Gallagher and Luke Gallagher. They were brothers, and I believe that they may have
had some issues.
A couple of issues.
A lot of issues there. Yeah, back in the music world, Bryan Adams was big, Sting, Bon Jovi. Remember Sheryl Crow, All I Want to Do?
I love Sheryl Crow.
Yeah, Sheryl, and then Aerosmith, the Beastie Boys, Snoop Dogg, Pearl Jam, of course. Phil Collins, Blind Melon. Remember Blind Melon? They had that catch.
What was that song? No Rain.
No Rain, right. No Rain. Boys to Men and then...
Boys to Men. Come on.
Boys to Men and then Alice in Chains. So there you go for our throwback Thursday, 1994. Yasmin, why don't you go bring our guest in there? And she does that. I am going to just go through our health and fitness tip of the day. It's kind of a cool one. It's more or less... a bunch of them, because I did 10 videos, check it out, for livestrong.com. Going to give a shout out to them and Demand Media, you know, the eHow. They did all these videos on how to do things, and I did 10, and they've been tweeting this one out. If you want to check it out, this is one of my favorite ones. It's called How to Burn Belly Fat and Lose Weight with a 7-Minute Interval Workout. It's a really good one. I lay it all out for you. Check it out. I had a really cool cinematographer, producer on that show. Let me list them out for you. How to do a backstand was the second one I did, like a back bend, okay? How to do a handstand and touch your feet to your head. Well, I'm doing a one-arm pinchy Myarasana because I figured we had to do about 10 or 11 takes of that, so that's a good one. How to know your weight-to-waist ratio, pretty cool. Check that out. That's easy. How to roll on the ground, something that you should know. How to roll after a jump. How to warm up for squats, I did. How to stay active all day. How to look for yoga teacher trainings in Macomb County, Michigan, and yoga shoulder shrugs. And again, folks, I know I'd been over these on a previous show, but I'm saying it now because I know Live Strong is doing a good job of pumping them out because they want to help people. And on that note, let's say hello to our guest, Mr. Ryan Roberts.
How you doing?
Awesome. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Awesome. Let me give you a little background on this man from Phoenix, Arizona, relocated to Los Angeles here in 2006, a year before I got here. Electric and double bassist. He's going to tell us what that is because he's kind of a jazz guy, but I think it's more hip jazz. He does classic, modern, R&B, fusion. He's got his original compositions. We are going to hear a song here, but you've played everywhere. You've played what? America's Got Talent. You were the house band, you know, the Tonight Show. Tell us more about what, I mean, it sounds like you got some really cool stuff here.
I didn't play on the Tonight Show.
Oh, you didn't play?
I want to clarify that.
Okay. What was the Tonight Show?
It should be, though.
Well, you played with somebody, Ryan. Doc, somebody, didn't you play with?
Oh, I studied. I studied with the teacher.
Oh, okay.
Who used to play with Doc.
Okay. Yeah. Correction. I just had it written down. I went to your site.
That's all right. You definitely did your homework.
Moving quick. Surprised. And then you got the 818 project.
I do. That's the latest thing I've been working on.
Yeah, so tell me, is that 818 as in the valley here?
That's it.
That's our area code here,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's about. You know, music and people, community, it's all big, really important to me. So when
you say project, what's it mean by the prize? Does it mean you bring different artists together, or you're like that's the name of it?
Yeah, that's just the name of it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, you can name anything a project. Like, I had a band called The Booty Project.
The Booty Project?
Yeah.
Oh. Referencing your butt or...
Well, yeah.
Yeah. Like, or our butts. Get your butt.
No, get your booty shaking.
Oh, I like that.
So it's like, that's the project. That's the, you know...
I like that.
Yeah, and we're all Valley crew, so it's like...
Valley. We're talking the Valley of Los Angeles, folks. Yeah. The Valley crew. Is it different than like the Hollywood crew?
I'd hope so.
Yeah. totally different.
It's way different. I hope so. What do you mean? You're downplaying the Hollywood folks?
Hollywood's a different scene.
It is a different scene,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that out here in the Valley, the musicians that kind of kick it out here, we're all pretty proud of the kind of music that we play, and it's more about the music and the art than what we're wearing or who we're
being a hipster.
That's it.
It's like, hey, I got to look like a hipster, and therefore I'm Hollywood.
Yeah, I can't grow a mustache. That's the only reason I don't dig it. You know, like, if I can grow one of those mustaches.
Well, you got a scruff going on.
Yeah, well, that's laziness.
Yeah, you can't get that handle.
I'm seeing those handlebars now, right? What's going on with that? I'm seeing a lot of guys with that.
Right.
Yeah, see, we don't know. We're not hip enough to know.
See, Yasmin, also, you're the jazz singer as well.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're playing this Saturday. I know she doesn't want me to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it. You are playing this Saturday, aren't you?
I am. I'm playing just a casual gig this Saturday in the Valley.
In the Valley.
We like to
keep it local and represent.
Yeah, you guys have worked together. I know you got another gig, right? You Saturday night, you got something? Or?
Yeah.
You're always playing, right?
But, yeah. Well,
I try to stay busy, yeah.
Ryan's actually doing a show on the 25th of this month. Do you want to tell us about that, babe?
Yeah, that's it. The Cap Studio. They have a thing there called Jazz at the Cap.
That's on Ventura Boulevard, yeah?
Yeah, just west of Woodman.
That's the one.
There's a studio right there. Well, I'm visualizing.
Yeah, Woodman. The Cap Studio.
Oh, interesting. Second floor? Is that
south
on the
south side? No, I think it's the
ground
main
floor?
Yeah.
Huh.
And so you're playing there with the 818 Project?
That's going to be the debut. Yeah.
The debut.
Debut.
So you got the debut of the 818 Project. So this is new.
This is new. I put it together back in April. We did a little demo at the end of April, and then this is it.
And then so, you know, obviously I know you really well, like you're one of my homies. Tell us a little bit about being, like, you're a jazz head, and like straight up and down, this guy, the way that if you watch this guy work a stand-up bass, you like... My mouth opens, there's drool, I have to wipe it up. Like, it's insane. He's so talented. Mm. But, you know, jazz isn't something that is kind of popular with our age. So, like, tell us about, you know, keeping jazz alive for our generation and kind of trying to make it cool again, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, my approach to that is with a relevant, like, culturally relevant beat.
Okay.
Just put a beat back in it that's, like, you know, contemporary.
Hmm.
That's, you know...
Like Dr. Dre, get some Dre beats in
right, that's...
Yeah, but you're...
It's another booty project.
That's another booty project, right?
Maybe the booty project and the 818 come together on that one.
Yeah, right.
So how many are in your the 818 project? How many would you say?
It's a quartet.
It's a quartet.
Yeah.
Okay.
myself on bass, Zane Musa on saxophone. He's actually in New York right now playing with Jeff Goldblum.
Jeff Goldblum from the Fly and all that. Yeah, oh yeah.
He's also in
Arturo I've seen him play at well, it's now closed down, but I saw Jeff Goldblum. Yeah, he's
He does a thing in like Los Feliz.
Yeah.
On
yeah.
Wednesdays.
He plays and then he has a singer with him, right?
Yeah.
I think he's also playing vibrato. And Zane kind of looks like Jeff.
Really?
Zane, I hope you're listening.
I hope Jeff's listening. Jeff, you want to explain that?
You're right. Yeah. That's okay, and who else?
So we got Zane on saxophone. Mahesh Balasuria is actually up north with Natalie Cole today.
Oh, Nat King Cole's daughter.
I love her. Yeah.
And then dear friend Aaron McLennan on drums, who moved to town, I want to say about 3 years ago, moved back to California from New York.
Nice.
And he was out there doing big things, and he came back, and we started playing.
Now, do you write together, or do you write the music and bring them together?
Yeah, I just write it.
And then, you write everything. Yeah. I see.
Yeah. But it's cool to have guys that I'm so close with personally and musically, because I can write for them and with them in mind. And so that helps direct the writing.
Right. And do they tweak it a little bit once you're doing it?
Yeah, they might, you know, toss in their 2 cents.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Maybe I'll toss it back.
I was going to say, I mean, my experience with musicians, especially those writers, they kind of like to, you know.
No, they're all super talented and have great ideas, and I'm always welcome to, you know, the community aspect of everybody pitching in. So it's cool.
And you've been playing, what, it says more than 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And then,
or your whole life, probably. Music's been in your soul, but it's what are you, like, 30-year-old guy? Or
yeah,
like,
around there.
Yeah. Well, I'm just guessing. Yeah, I'm a 30-year-old guy too, in my own mind.
In a 51-year-old body.
Yeah, in a 51-year-old, exactly.
I love throwing your age in there, Rich.
I do too. I mean, it really kind of floors people. What do you think? 51?
Yeah,
no
chance.
Yeah. He looks rad for 51. Ladies, just so you know.
Because I like musicians.
Yeah.
That's what keeps me young.
Yeah.
Music, movies.
Music, yeah. Movie, and yoga. Just out of curiosity, and I don't know if I've ever asked you this in person, what was the reason behind or the motive behind the move to Los Angeles rather than New York? Because obviously the jazz scene in New York is much bigger than the scene in Los Angeles. So why Los Angeles?
Sure. There was a point in time where I was still really interested in going to New York, and I moved out here about 8 years ago. Was I 24 then? And so, like, that was, you know, kind of the thing. Like, you'd go to New York and go to school, or go to New York and try to make it or whatever. So that was still in there, but after a while, just decided to stay here. I didn't want to start over again.
Yep. Didn't want to have 5 roommates or something.
Right. In a closet.
Yeah.
And by then, you got to go to Bushwick. You can't forget New York now.
Right.
You can't afford it. So that's how you came to Los Angeles. You've been rocking it ever since. So what draws you to jazz, right? Because I'm sure you're very talented. We're going to hear you soon.
I don't know, actually. I mean, it's like, looking back on it, I don't know what the initial thing was. I couldn't say. Like, you know, there wasn't a specific record that got me hooked or anything. Looking back on it now, I kind of understand it more. Like, I love the freedom of it all, obviously. And how it's everybody working together as one. It's not just people playing parts. It's happening in real time, you know.
So it's a collaborative creation. Try to say that 3 times fast.
And a cohesive unit.
Yeah.
Look at that one.
There you go.
So it's all happening at once, which is, you know, rather than when, say, you play rock, everyone's playing a separate part, and it's pretty much...
And they go together to make a song, which is cool, but it's so... an improvised music. You got so much freedom, and it's so reaction and conversation-based.
So you're saying that, like, when you say conversation, you mean, like, you as the bassist, your bass is having a conversation with the keys.
Yeah.
Right, so it's not like you, the person.
No, not verbal.
Yeah.
No one needs to hear me talk.
Whereas then
As I say on
well,
talk
that's where
radio,
you come
by the way.
Yeah. No, Yasmin, I mean, you've guys played together. That's why you know him well. I mean, you sing with that, those guys, right?
Yeah, Ryan and I have worked together, and Ryan's actually going to be producing my upcoming album.
Nice. Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this guy's a
rocking
it. He's a bad mofo.
Well, I think we need to be listening to some music here. Now, what are we going to be listening to today? I have it as Mac Attack. Is that
that's it? That's Mac
that's
Attack.
That's the name of the song.
I played the bass line for the piano player, Mahesh, and he's like, "Man, Aaron's going to kill that. Aaron's going to kill that." And so I finished writing the song with Aaron McClendon in mind. It's called the Mac Attack.
I say. And when did you write this? How long ago?
I wrote that. I think I finished writing it in March.
Okay, this year.
Yeah.
Fresh.
Yeah.
All right, so folks, we're going to have a listen here. It's going to be awesome. Check it out. Mac Attack.
Yeah.
Ryan Roberts, everybody. Woo! Wow. That was, let me tell you, Ryan, that's like, when I think of jazz, I think of Kenny G, you know, kind of mellow. You're laying by
that
the pool.
Ain't no Kenny G.
Ain't no Kenny G. That's awesome. You
Dude,
really rock it.
That's what I like to call neck music. You know, when
neck,
you're tapping
your finger. I'm sitting over here. We're listening. Yeah. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed it. No, that's great. I mean, if you want to check out Ryan's website, it's ryanrobertsmusic.net. Learn all about him. Check him out. This 818 project, I mean, that's, you're going to be playing that, right? The Mac Attack?
Yeah, yeah, we're doing it.
That's, you're doing
it? The Cap, Jazz at the Cap, September 25th, 8:30.
Jazz at the Cap. Yeah, September 25th, 8:30. I will definitely try to be there. Let me see. What? That's Saturday?
It's a Thursday.
It's a Thursday.
A week from today.
Oh, 1 week from today. Yeah, that's cool. We're gonna go check him out. So, hey, check it out. RyanRobertsMusic.net. The Cap next Thursday. 818 Project. So, Ryan, let me get to this here, because we do the Fast Five. I want to get him with the Fast Five. We got a jazz guy here.
What's the fast five?
Or these are, don't be looking over at my notes over here.
That's exactly what I'm trying to do.
He's like, oh.
The only way I'm going to be fast is if I cheat.
Yeah. Don't be cheating. I got to hold the paper up. How long is the show?
It's early morning for Ryan.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. What do you get up at, like noon?
On a good day.
On a good day. Yeah. Well, you guys stay up till 4 in the morning.
I don't have to, but I do.
Yeah.
Always making music. You're always writing, though, right?
Sure. Sometimes writing. I'm up that late writing. Sometimes not writing.
No, he's talking.
Sometimes talking about writing.
Talking to the honey jack.
Jazz musicians definitely like to talk about writing. We talk about.
I see.
Yeah.
We talk a lot.
No.
There's no honey jack sitting right next to you, though. I know that's popular these days, but no, this is called the Fast Five. We get a little flavor for your personality. I think we have it already. Total jazz musician here. Jazz head, as Yasmin says. But so I'm going to just ask you. You're going to pick one or the other. It's pretty straightforward. And yeah, come right out with it. So let's go with number one. We got chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Vanilla.
Vanilla, yeah, really?
That's a boy right there.
I mean, okay, all right. I'm seeing the vanilla. Yeah. We usually get chocolate.
Really?
I said vanilla.
Is that the more popular?
It's like the go-to, but I said vanilla, yeah.
Really? Seems to be.
I feel like there should be other options.
No, you can't do it because it kind of sets you apart. Yeah, chocolate
butter
chip mint. We were going to do that.
I'm kind of into the pecan.
Butter pecan, cherry vanilla, but we're like, nah, right. But then it gets to be, well, I don't eat peanuts or I don't eat chocolate.
Oh, right. You get too many of those.
Too many variables.
Everybody eats chocolate or
vanilla.
Go vanilla.
It's true. Team vanilla. Gotta go simple.
I think mint and chips are strong.
I like the mint. I was going to go with the chocolate chip mint, but she's like, nah, but then suppose I don't like the chocolate. I'm like, all right, forget it.
All right, so we have vanilla.
So this was a big thing, just deciding on the
flavor. Oh, yeah.
See how not fast this is? I totally hijacked
fast.
One question.
You did. You threw us off beat. Yeah. We're rolling into tomorrow. Well, how about the time we had two, a husband and wife, and they're like back and forth. I'm like, well, wait a minute, pick one. Yeah. They're like, oh, what are you? I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
All right, let's
just
go to
keep one.
Keep going. Number two here. We got tropical. Well, I think I'm going to know this. Tropical Island or New York City?
New York City.
Got to be.
Hands down.
Jazz. You can't be playing on the tropical island. Just, nobody's there.
Yeah. Also,
I don't like outdoor gigs.
You don't like being outdoors. When's the last time you were in a swimming pool, Ryan?
Swimming pool? That's your specialty. Laying by the pool.
Right. So I've invited
He doesn't
this
look
dude.
Like he's nope. doing a lot of sunbathing.
Nope. No, I don't do that.
He's a night crawler for right. sure.
I stay inside, watch Law & Order all day, and then go play a gig.
There you go. Law & Order from, 1994. All right, number three, we got Ancient Rome or the Wild West?
Ancient Rome.
Really? I would have guessed the West. How about you, Yasmin?
Huh? Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm from Phoenix. I'm burnt out.
Oh, yeah, you got the Phoenix
I'm
thing
done
going.
With that.
I go to Phoenix. I have some friends that, you're done with that. It's hot as hell in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Here we go. Number four, tearjerker or action thriller?
Tearjerker.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
I'm not into action movies. He's my wife's into action movies. I'm
really?
Not.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I'll come home
and she's watching something with a rock in it or something. I'm like, hey, call me when it's done. I'm like, I'm not.
Holy cow.
Call me when the notebook's
I like
playing.
That. The notebook. Wow. That's a throwback.
Right.
He's such a tough guy.
How about
Ryan?
The guy who was sleeping with his sister because he watched the notebook?
Yeah,
that's another.
What?
Oh,
you
got
to go back to a previous show we did. Oh, yeah, okay. Some wacko was caught in a trailer at a church parking lot, having sex with his half sister because he said
they'd watch The Notebook.
Watch The Notebook.
The Notebook got them hot for each other.
Really? Yeah. The Notebook can makes you cross all kinds of lines.
All sorts of wackos lines. Out
Ryan
there.
Ryan Gosling can make anybody do anything.
Yep. All right, here we go. We're wrapping
you
up.
Make my landlord lower the rent?
Yeah, right.
Do I have to call the other Ryan to do that?
Oh, God. All right, so let's give you the fifth one, and we'll wrap it up here. Candlelight dinner or picnic in the park?
I don't even know. Let's go candlelight. I'm kind of indifferent.
You
got to
whip
either.
Out the equipment, you know, the jazz. What?
I'm like, wait a minute. Did I say whip out the equipment?
Yeah. Like, where are you going with
that?
Whoa,
wait a minute.
You're thinking about The Notebook, aren't
you? Yeah, I'm thinking about The Notebook. Yeah, all right.
Okay, boys.
All right, that's
we gotta end this show.
Yeah, we got to end this show. But, you know, I had a lot of fun here with Ryan Reynolds. Go check him out, everybody. Hey, Ryan, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, it was another good show, huh?
Yeah. Always.
All right, everybody. You know where to find some more information if you want to check out my website, richtola.com. And, well, you know who I am. I'm Rich Tola. And remember, dreams do come true. But, hey, what do I know?
You're listening to Tola Talks with Rich Tola right here on LA Talk Radio.